Exodus chapter 16, and then I want you to take your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and then the book of Job. Isn't that a big deal? I'm glad to be at church this morning. Amen. A wonderful place to come and rest in the Lord. And so, but I will tell you this, that if I had my brothers about it, and I'm not in charge, God is, but if I could have anybody that ever comes to this church here at one time, it would have been today. And I'm honest, but the Lord knows all about it. He knows who needs to be here and who isn't, and so forth. And then, of course, everybody can get a CD if they want to. But I told Karen, I very seldom discuss a message with Karen before I go to church. But this morning, I was so impressed or so dealt with by the Lord by this message. And God, you know, I said, Karen, you know, like a lot of messages, you get done, get them ready, and you realize that it was for you more maybe than anybody else. I want to preach a message today that is affecting your life. This issue has the power to destroy your family, to tear your family apart at the roots. This issue, this subject, has the power to tear apart your workplace. It has the power to tear apart your marriage. It has the power to tear apart churches, and does. It actually can tear apart a nation. It is so powerful. I never realized in my life of preaching in 30 years, 31 years now, the criticalness and the importance of this subject, and yet the Bible is just chunk full of it. So I want you to listen very carefully today. This sin, this issue, is far worse than chewing tobacco. I would rather have 42 chew tobacco spitters missing it and hitting the floor than to have one of these in a church, in a family. I would rather have to deal with drunks. I would rather deal with drug heads. I would rather deal with a thief than to deal with this issue here when somebody is infected with this sin. This sin will bring ruin to your spiritual life, to true spiritual life. It will wreck, as I said, your family. It will wreck your future. It will wreck ministries. It will wreck churches and businesses. This issue will rot your heart. It will literally rotten your heart out. It will rot in your mind and spirit, and it stinks so bad it spreads. This sin runs off servants of the Lord and laborers of the Lord. This sin sows discord and division and defiles. It is devilish. It promotes disloyalty and destroys and damages. It is a damnable sin out of hell. It is the sin of murmuring. And I told Karen this morning, I tell you, God has shown me areas in my life that I did not recognize as sin, even to the point this week of God showing me that I murmured about the weather. Now, who's in charge of the weather? Don't tell me KY3 or Color 10. Who's in charge of the weather, folks? So when I'm griping about the weather and I'm murmuring and complaining about the weather, who am I complaining against? I'm complaining. Now, that doesn't mean that I shouldn't pray for rain. Or if I'm wanting to go sledding, pray for snow. But there's a difference between asking God and murmuring toward God. And so we're going to be looking at some scriptures now. There's something else I want you to pick up. The word murmur is right next in your dictionary to the word murder. It has the same prefix. Remember that. Murmuring is akin to murdering. And there's more ways to murder people than just by a gun or a knife or an axe. You can murder people with your mouth. And so we're going to look at this today. let's look at Exodus chapter 16. This is where we're at. And the name of this message is the mire of murmuring. Now think about this, the mire of murmuring. In Exodus 16, when you get to verse number 2, the Bible said, and the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses. Go back to chapter 15, verse number 24. The Bible said the people did what? Murmured against Moses. In chapter 16 and verse number 7, and in the morning then you shall see the glory of the Lord, for that he heareth your murmurings against the Lord. Verse number 8, and Moses said, this shall be when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, for that the Lord heareth your murmurings, which you murmur against him. And what are we that your murmurings are not against us? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. Verse number 9, Moses spake unto Aaron, saying to the children, congregation, the children of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he hath heard your murmurings. Verse number 12, I have heard the murmurings. Chapter 17, verse number 3, and the people thirsted there for water, and the people murmured against the Lord, against Moses. How many's kind of got the idea they were murmurers? Murmuring is such a serious sin, I'm going to be honest with you. I have now marked it in yellow markery in every verse in the Bible where it's at. God has shown me this week how serious this sin is. I went through and marked every reference to it in the Bible. In my Bible, I have now marked in yellow because I want in the future God to always remind me of the damage and the danger of murmuring in my life and in the lives of those that might be around me. It's not just the times whenever Moses said, where the Bible records explicitly they were murmuring. There are many other cases where they were murmuring and complaining and griping and groaning and saying things that they shouldn't have been saying. But God doesn't explicitly. He just gives you their murmuring. He doesn't say they murmured. What you just read is just a little sample. If you'll catch it and watch it, they murmured from the time Moses went down to deliver them, and they murmured their way out of Egypt, and they murmured their way through 40 years. Now, I want you to go through to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and we're going to look at a passage of Scripture here. This entire passage of Scripture is about the Exodus. When you began in verse number 1, it said, moreover, brother, and I would not that you be ignorant how our fathers were in the cloud and all passed through the sea. And it goes all the way down through there, and it's a condensed history of the Exodus of Israel. Now, when you get to verse number 10, watch what it says in verse number 10. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were what? Destroyed of the destroyer. Can anybody guess who the destroyer is? That's Satan. Now, here's something. God, and now watch verse number 11. Right after that it says, now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. That's as plain as the nose on your face. God is saying, I told you about those people. One of the things I'm doing in recording their history and giving that to you and reminding you again in the New Testament is, he said there that they murmured, and because they murmured, they were destroyed. And I'm telling you again this morning that murmuring will destroy your spiritual life. Murmuring will destroy your family. Murmuring will destroy your business. Murmuring will destroy churches. Murmuring can destroy nations. Murmuring needs to be elevated in our understanding and in our spiritual insight as to the horrible, wicked, ungodly, satanic, destructive sin that it is. I don't know that I've ever heard a message preached on the subject of murmuring. I'm sure maybe there has been. I've never heard of it. And all of a sudden this week it's like the Holy Ghost said, Reggie, do you understand what I'm saying? I'm recording over and over and over and over and over and over what murmuring did to these people. Now I want you to go to the New Testament and see what I tell you. I am telling you, neither murmur ye, and because it destroyed those people's potential. It destroyed their lives. It destroyed their joy. It destroyed their peace. It destroyed their power. It destroyed their fellowship. It destroyed their friendships. It destroyed them. Can I remind you that only two men, it was the two men who came back from the spying went into Canaan land 40 years later, this sin of murmuring destroyed every person that was over 20 years of age in that whole congregation. That's serious. That's serious. Go to Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 14. Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 14. Here this wonderful, blessed, precious book of Philippians tells us so many things. It's the book where God says, I'll supply all your need according to His riches and glory. My God can, you know, and so forth. And God, He'll supply all your needs. And I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. And all this, again, rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. It's in this wonderful book of practical daily application to our lives that God says this in verse 14. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. Now, I want you to go to the last reference we'll look. Go to the book of Jude, which is just before the book of Revelation, the last book in the New Testament. God says, don't do anything through murmuring. Don't murmur. He said, you'll be destroyed. Look at the book of Jude, and it only has one chapter. The book of Jude in verse number 16. Now, folks, listen. I'm here to preach this old precious book, and this book has given me life and life more abundantly, and I love it. And though I wept while I studied and prepared this message, I rejoiced in that I have a God and a book that tells me just like it is, and who gives me the wisdom and the insight and the understanding to avoid certain things. And I have already prayed before I got here. Dear God in heaven, purge my soul from murmuring. Eradicate the sin of murmuring from my whole being. For it says in Jude verse number 16, after God has went through a long list of the horrible apostate situation of the enemies of God, it says in verse 16, these are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. That's an amazing statement. That people who are held in admiration, who have the advantages of life, could be the worst murmurers walking. So now let's go back to Exodus chapter 16 to our basic text. And we're looking at the children of Israel. These things are written for our learning. And my prayer is this. I told Karen, I said, Karen, I want God to do a work in our family, in our hearts, in our lives individually that we would not be a family that murmurs. And I want to say bluntly to every family in this church, I would, if I were you, while I'm preaching today, meditate and talk to God while I'm preaching and beg God and plead with the Lord to show us ourselves and to say, Lord, purge us from ever being a murmuring people. Where I have murmured, God, convict me of it. Cleanse me of murmuring and complaining about my lot in life. And wash me thoroughly from it. And make me to see it as the awful, destructive sin that it is. With everything in my soul today, I am going to lift this wicked, out of hell garbage up to show it what it really is and what it really does. Because we have a tendency, we think if we dress right and our hair's cut and we do this and we do that or we don't do this thing, that we're pretty good people. Let me tell you something. I would still rather have a church full of tobacco-spitting drug heads trying to reach them for Jesus Christ than I would a church out of murmurers. And we need to make sure that this church, that this body is continuously purged of murmuring, for murmuring will destroy the work of God. Murmuring is to make, here it is, I'm going to give you a definition of it. It's to make caustic, damaging, critical, condemning, and cutting statements, words, or remarks about other people. It is to complain, to gripe, with a smart-aleck attitude. It is to express disgust with others, dislike of others. It is also manifested not just in words, but in facial expressions, smirks, body language, rolling eyes toward those especially that are in authority or in leadership or in service areas. It can be to a child toward the parents. It can be a wife to a husband. She can roll her eyes. Or it can be the husband to his employer. It can be the father to God, smirking, complaining, griping, never happy, never satisfied. And once he sees stuff in other people making remarks, in my experience in the ministry, both here and where I've been aware of in other ministries, and I have been in contact with lots of preachers across the country and ministries, murmuring is, along with its sister sin of defilement, the most damaging thing to the body and to the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. As I said earlier, it's so prevalent that I have marked it in every reference to it in my Bible. I have never had a drunk or a dope head or a smoker divide this church, but I've had plenty of murmurs who tried to destroy the work of God. And I pray the Holy Ghost of God will continuously purge us from murmuring. What is the purpose of the goal, the blessing that God has in mind for you in this message? By the way, I want you to take this message as a blessing from God, not a curse. Not somebody up here in judgment on you or anyone else, but a message to try to help us to grow in the grace and knowledge, to be honest to goodness, to be Christians, to be Christ-like. The purpose of it, the blessing of it, is number one, to warn us of its danger, to warn us of its damage, to warn us of its destruction. Secondly, the purpose of this message is to protect us in the future from the damage and danger of it. It is also to grow us in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, to make us more Christ-like, to mature, to, as I sung earlier, as we sung, higher ground. But it is also to rebuke those who take part in murmuring. The Bible says, and I want you to get this truth down today. Now listen to me good. In the book of Timothy, 2 Timothy, it is the pastoral epistles of the Bible. It is there where pastors are giving their working, operating, marching instructions. And one of the most important things it says in there, that they're to reprove, to rebuke, to exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Let me tell you something you need to learn in your Christian experience, is to be thankful when a preacher, and a pastor especially, rebukes or reproves sin in your life. It is not time to run and to leave when the pastor rebukes sin. It is time to say, God, what do you want to say in my life? For we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God, haven't we? Not one of us can probably say in this church house that we have never murmured. If you're here and you've never murmured, would you please stand and let us meet you? I'm not going to remain standing after I have said that. All right. So it's to reprove, to rebuke, but it's to correct and to exhort and to encourage. I feel like I'm a better man already this morning from having studied this message today. I have a new desire in my heart, a new recognition of Satan's wiles and his fiery darts, his wickedness, his cunningness, than I had when I was here a week ago today, just by reading and studying the Word of God. It is to exhort and to encourage, to train us, to teach us, to stay away from this deadly viper. It is to teach us the wisdom and the fear of the Lord, because through the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. A person may murmur about your physical features. You may murmur to God all the way through your life about the size of your nose or the shape of your teeth or the color of your hair or your height or your build. Did you know people do that? They constantly reject God's design in their life. They're constantly murmuring that, well, I wish I was like that. What you're saying is, God, you didn't do a good job. You're murmuring against the Lord. People may murmur about their financial status. Well, I just never make any money. I don't know why those people have to make the money. I don't know why they have to have the car. I don't know why they... You may gripe about your income. You know what you're doing? You're just murmuring against the Lord. For God has said that He will supply all of your needs according to His riches and glory, your needs. God has said, having food and raiment, therewith let us be content. But you know something, growing up, it would have really bothered me. I have 6 children. And Brother Orland, it would have bothered me for my kids to have got every 2 or 3 days to just come up to me griping about things we didn't have. Why don't we have a 4-wheeler? Or why don't we have a boat? Or why don't we have, you know what? I just think of their father pretty soon. I said, is there no way to make your kids happy? Is having enough food and having clothing and living in America and knowing the Lord, is that not enough? I think that would have discouraged me as a father more than anything, just never happy. They don't ever run and play in the yard. They just sit out there somewhere in the yard in a chair with their hands like this, saying, we don't have this and we don't have that, and just murmuring, and my dad doesn't make enough money for this, and my mom, we don't have money for this. I'm going to tell you something. There's not a parent in here would get, you'd get pretty upset about that. As I thought about that this week, I thought, what does my Heavenly Father do when I gripe about this and I gripe about that? I wonder if he didn't look down and say, Reggie, I gave you a beautiful house to live in, a farm to live on. I gave you two legs to walk on, two hands, two eyes, two ears. I'll let you be born in America. I'll let you be born in a home where they give you, where you heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, a father and a mother that loves you. What are you griping about? Why can't you be happy? I think the reason that Phil Robertson has touched so many people's lives in America is because he talks about being happy, happy, happy. And so many people are not happy. I want to tell you this morning. Now you say what you'll do. I believe God's given me this message because He wants us to be a thankful, happy, grateful people. God does not, and there is no reason for God's people to be, let me tell you something, we've got the world by the tail in the downhill pool, amen? We have so much to rejoice about, so much to be thankful for. We can, as I said, murmur about the weather. Oh, I tell you what, it ain't raining, it's dry. You know what? The whole country is murmuring, the government's murmuring about climate change. I mean, honest to goodness, just a murmuring country. We murmur about the brethren. Do you know what? If the person you're sitting by or within 5 or 6 feet of lived in another state, was in another church, you wouldn't think anything about them this morning. Did you know that? But God put those people in your life to conform you to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's some boogers sitting close to you. And God's going to use the acquaintances, and you can run from that if you want to, but you're just going to meet some worse ones down the road. I can promise you that. We can murmur about the brother. We can murmur about the authority over our lives. Oh, Daddy didn't let me do this, and Daddy wouldn't let me do that, and Mama wouldn't let me go here, and they wouldn't let us watch that movie, and they wouldn't let us listen to that music, and they wouldn't let us wear those clothes, and they wouldn't, well, everybody else is doing it. No, everybody else is not doing it. That's the first lie you told. We murmur about leadership. We murmur about our possessions or the lack of it. We go out there and the tractor won't start, and we start murmuring. You know what God ought to do is take the tractor away from us so we don't have it to murmur about no more. We go out and murmur about the pickup won't start. Well, God could take the pickup away from us so we don't have that pickup to murmur about anymore. I mean, the wash machine broke down and we have 3 murmuring trips around the house and make everybody miserable. God couldn't put you back on a washboard. Amen. And we murmur about our families. I'm going to give you 13 quick insights on this, and we'll go home today. You say, man, that's a lot of them. It'll take you to midnight. No, it won't. You write it down if you want to or get the tape. But I'm going to give you 13 insights out of our text that we're reading in Exodus 16 about murmuring. And 13 is the number of what? Rebellion. Murmuring is the number of rebellion. Number one, I'm just going to do these real quick for you this morning. Number one, murmuring becomes habitual. Habitual. Over 30 times in Scripture, murmuring is mentioned. You can get that the first thing you get. We just want, you know what? They just got into a habit of it. They just murmured all the time. Did you know you can get to be a chronic murmurer? Now, it's quiet in here this morning. I know Brother Bob's not here to lead the cheering session. But it's quiet in here this morning. I understand that. But I want to tell you something. Murmuring can get to be a habit. You don't see the good side of nothing. You just see the bad side of everything. Repeatedly, at nearly every trial and every turn, they murmured. Murmuring is habitual. You get to where you do it, and you don't even realize you're doing it. You do it without thinking. It just becomes part and parcel of who you are. A chronic murmur. I want to ask you a question. If your children were to define you, put down a definition, would chronic murmurer fit a definition of you? Would they be able to say, Mama was always griping. Nothing ever made her happy. Daddy was never satisfied. Never was happy. As a child, if I was to ask your parents, would your parents say, well, he's a murmurer or a complainer? If you gave him a gold barn and a new Harley Davidson motorcycle, he wouldn't be happy. He'd murmur about it. You know what you ought to do this morning? Start confessing while I'm preaching. Start repenting. That means, God, give me grace. Forgive me for being a murmurer. Number two, murmuring is contagious. It's not only habitual. Murmuring is contagious. You know what the Bible said? Before they got done, the whole congregation murmured against Moses and the Lord. The whole bunch got to murmur. It's contagious. You murmur to your kids will murmur to their sister and their brother. Your sister and brother murmur to their cousin. And it'll just go on and on and on and on. And it gets to be, and that's why I said in this church, I beg God Almighty, do not allow us to be a church of murmurers. And God, I'm going to ask you to take the murmurers out of here. Because you say, Reggie, you don't love them? Yeah, I love them. I just don't want to see them destroy God's work. You see, you know, something you need to understand about me. My first supreme love is to God Almighty, not to my wife. I love God more than I love my wife. If my wife rebelled and went on a cat fit and all that garbage and just started going against the Word of God and everything, did you know I'd stay by God before I stayed by her? And that don't mean I'd leave her. That doesn't mean I'd divorce her. I'm telling you, you got to get where you love God supremely. I couldn't love her right if I didn't stay by what's right. And God will, by the way, test you as to whether you love Him more than any earthly relationship. He will test you with that, I promise you. Murmuring is contagious. I'll tell you, it spreads like Ebola. It spreads like cancer. It's a common cold of Christianity is kind of what I call it. It's easy to catch. And you need to guard yourself diligently against murmurers. Somebody pops off a little murmur at you. You know what the Bible says in the New Testament? Mark them. And then stay away from them. Wave at them. Shake hands to them. Be friendly to them. Love them. Help them. Watch them. If you ain't careful, you'll get infected with their murmuring. Guard yourself against it. If need be, you may oftentimes have to rebuke a murmurer. Just put your hand up and say, hey, I ain't listening to that garbage. Stop talking about it right now. That's one of the best things. Let me tell you, the wounds of a friend are faithful, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Yes, sir. The best people you'll ever know in your life are the people who put your hand up and say, hey, you ain't talking like that to me. Yep. And let me tell you something that's worse about murmuring. It's usually cloaked in spiritual rags. The rags of false spirituality. Because they know if they don't cloak it in spiritual cloaks, they'll be spotted and their conscience, they know it'll come across wrong. So they cloak it in spiritual terms. That's what Jesus talked about the Pharisees and all their murmuring. He said, you're white as sepulchres full of dead men's bones. He said, you have a cloak of righteousness, a cloak of spirituality, and there's nothing to it. It's what's inside. What he was saying was, you're cloaking all the garbage you're doing in the name of religion. You're cloaking it with spirituality. And you know why they hated Jesus Christ? It's because he reached and pulled that cloak off of them and he showed them for what they were. He said, you cloak your love for widows in spirituality. But he said, the truth about it is you're devouring widows' houses. He said, you're after that widow's money. It's how come you're being so spiritual and nice. Uh-huh. You see what I'm talking about? How to dress up. By the way, your flesh knows how to dress up spiritually junk in our lives. Number three, it starts quickly. Murmuring moves fast. I mean, it'll just move fast. It don't take very long for murmuring to get going. Somebody gets on the wrong side of you, and I'm telling you what, it don't go your way, and you instantly start murmuring. Murmurers are not long-suffering, which is the first evidence of genuine love. Love suffereth long. Murmurers won't put up with people. They won't put up with anybody. If it goes against their grain, goes against their deal, it's on. They're going to start murmuring. They're impatient. They're like spiders ready to jump at the first thing that comes along. Murmurers act quickly because they do not want, listen to this, they do not want to wait upon the Lord to fix problems in other people. They're going to fix them themselves. And that's when you get in trouble. You need to learn to give God time and other people. But you start murmuring, you're going to make up your mind. You're going to take action. Vengeance is going to be yours. You ain't going to wait on God. You know God well enough to know that God is patient with people and God is long-suffering. So you don't want to wait on God, so you're going to take action yourself. They'll act quickly. Number four, murmuring is inexcusable. Murmuring is inexcusable. There is no justification in Scripture ever or rationalization for the sin of murmuring. None. Ever. in verse number 3 of that passage, you know what they said? You're going to kill this whole congregation. You're going to kill this whole assembly with hunger. That's what they told Moses. Now listen to this. There was no justification with the children of Israel whatsoever to murmur. Why? God had sent plagues. He had sent them a deliverer over there. God had conquered their enemies. God had taken them out of Egypt. He had delivered them from slavery. He had redeemed them by blood, taken them through the Red Sea, guarded them and guided them with the cloud. He had turned bitter water into sweet. He had given manna from heaven, and he had given rest at Elim. And now they're saying, you're going to kill this whole assembly with hunger? There was no excuse for it. Folks, there was not one shred of evidence whatsoever that they had any right to murmur against Moses or God. There was nothing. Murmuring is never, ever, you need to write this one, brand this one on your heart. There is never, 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 never any biblical justification for murmuring. It is a dangerous, dangerous thing that your flesh loves. Satan knows it, so that's why he's pushing it so hard. But oh, that wasn't good enough for the children of Israel, that God had done all that. Never good enough for murmurers. It's amazing to me that people can be saved, taken from going to hell to going to heaven by the sweet grace of God. God give them a family. God give them a home, a roof over their head, and a bed to sleep on, and food in their cabinets. Health and work and living in America, church and the school. That ain't good enough. We're going to murmur. We're going to complain about somebody somewhere, somehow. Blessings, listen to this. Blessings do not stop murmurers. Blessings do not stop murmurers. They had been blessed up one side and down the other. And the more God blessed them, the more they murmured. That's why God allows such great judgment to come upon murmurers. Really, to be honest with you this morning, except a person repents, there is nothing left but judgment for murmurers. Number 5, murmuring is mean. Murmuring is mean. In verse number 3, this is what they told Moses. You brought us in this wilderness to kill us. You brought us in this wilderness to kill us. You know what? Here's a man who forfeited everything he was doing in life to obey God's will and God's calling in his life. Who devoted his life, who risked his life to stand before Pharaoh. A man who gave everything within the fiber of his soul to help and lead these people. And you know what? They were absolutely mean to him, claiming that he brought him out there to kill him. You know what that's like telling your mom or dad, all you had us for is to ruin our lives. Only reason you had us is make us your little slaves. And just blame your mom and dad for everything. When they loved you, your mama carried you, your mama delivered you, your mama nursed you, she changed your stinking diapers. And then you get up there and murmur against your mama. Your dad goes out and works. You know, maybe he don't make the most money in the country. But you know, that might be a blessing in disguise too. That might be a real blessing. And instead of, you know what, I'll tell you something. Let me tell you something. Mama's, I want to encourage you something. One of the smartest things every wife in this church will do is to tell your husband how much you appreciate the work that he's doing to try to provide for your family. I'm honest with you. I'm going to tell you what kills a lot of marriages. A guy comes home, he's put up with everything, stinking thing in the world, everything's went south and sour, and his wife comes in and she ain't happy with what they got. And she never says, honey, thank you. You're making a mistake. Same thing with the men. Your wife, now, tell my daddy got tickled to him, he's been cooking little and washing little, and he said, we after you. He said, Reggie, I never knew women work so hard. But men come in, you know, and the wife's done this and done a little something special, you know. And man never says, honey, I want to thank you for the good meal. You know what? I believe y'all not ever get up from a meal without thanking your wife for cooking it. But we'll murmur. All we can see is what ain't right at the house, what didn't get cleaned up, or what wasn't this way or what that, instead of just being so thankful and so grateful. Murmuring is mean, it's unkind, it's cruel. And I'm going to say things about brethren and servants of the Lord who have given their time and given their life and given their energy and their abilities to serve the Lord and then turn around and stab them with murmuring. It's cruel and it's mean. I've watched here at this school over the years. Let me tell you something. I'm telling you right now, it's one of the toughest things you'll ever deal with in your life. Very few people can take it over 5 or 6 years. Those people bend over those desks and help your child work through all kinds of problems and deal with all kinds of nonsense. I've seen parents blame the teachers up here for problems that were going on in their own house. Saddest sickness thing you've ever seen in your life. That's murmuring. Start blaming somebody else for the problems that you've hatched out in your own home. Your kids take that to school with them, mom and daddy, whether you understand this or not. And your kids express stuff to other people they will never express to you. And somebody labors and loves and leads your children to Christ and then turn around and murmur against them. My land of living. It's cruel, folks. Listen, it's cruel. It's just like your children be murmuring against you, all the love and effort that you've put in them. You wouldn't want that. Number six, murmurers lie. Murmurers lie. Now listen to me well. This whole book will tell it like it is. The Bible is very clear that murmuring always involves lying. Listen to this. Verse number 3, they said, "We sat by the flesh pots in Egypt. We ate bread to the full. You brought us out here to kill us." Every statement was a lie. Can I tell you something? They did not set out the flesh pots in Egypt, and they did not eat bread to the full. Let me tell you what was happening in Egypt. Number one, they were slaves. Number two, their babies were slaughtered. Does that sound like a good life in Egypt? Killing your babies? Number three, they were cruelly beaten and oppressed, the Bible teaches us. They were under hard labor bondage, making bricks and mortar and slime. They were treading the slime pits and then finally told them to go gather their own straw that would no more be brought to them, but they had to make the same amount of bricks. Sounds like a good time down at Ryan's restaurant to me, doesn't it, you? But that's what murmuring will do to you. Murmuring will make you absolutely reprobate in your thinking, and all of a sudden right will become wrong and wrong will become right. And you'll hate the people you ought to love and love the people you ought to not like. Most murmuring I've ever listened to is a bunch of carved out lies. Number seven, murmuring is carnal and it's fleshly. They had God's prophet Moses. They had God's pillar, the cloud, to lead them and protect them. They had God's power delivering them through the Red Sea. And yet they longed for Egypt's carnal security. Egypt's idolatry, Egypt's immorality, Egypt's wickedness. And anybody wants to put you down, you mark this down now. I'll tell you what, God showed me, God dug down on this thing. Do you know why they were murmuring and wanting to go back to Egypt, folks? It's because back in Egypt was a lot of immorality, idolatry, fleshly. Even though they were slaves, they had picked up the Egyptian slop. And you read this in your Bible and you check Psalms 106, another passage of Scripture, which tells you what they really want. And by the way, in Deuteronomy chapter 32, Exodus 32, you know what? When Moses went up the mount, you know what they were doing? They went back to Egypt practically right there because they made them a golden calf. They stripped off their clothes. They started dancing and partying and drinking. And I'm telling you something, that's what that murmuring was really all about. They didn't like anybody telling them they ought not watch pornography. They ought not listen to rock and roll. They ought to stay away from country western. They ought to dress right. They ought to have the right kind of music. They didn't like anybody preaching something. They didn't like Moses preaching on things that they didn't like to do back in Egypt. And that was the real reason they were murmuring. If all that flesh pot business and bread and the fool business was nothing but a big lie, it was all because they really wanted to live fleshly. Can I tell you something why people will murmur against pastors and get rid of pastors? Is because they do not like to be told things the Bible says wrong. When that preacher preaches on that stuff, they'll start murmuring and they'll start picking and start saying this and saying that and saying this, and it'll whisper around the table and whisper around the living room, whisper in the car while they're driving, and the first thing you know, they're on a murmuring trail just like the children of Israel were. What it was their flesh. They were carnal. Murmuring is carnal. It's always carnal. It always goes back to the flesh. Number eight, murmuring is fruitless. Number eight, murmuring is fruitless. What good did it do them to murmur? Can I tell you, murmuring is never a solution. It is always a problem. You sitting around with your wife, murmuring about people here in church is not going to fix nothing. Not one thing. You murmuring about somebody over at work ain't going to fix it. Best thing you can do is live godly, keep serving the Lord Jesus Christ, let God work that out, but murmuring will never fix your problem. You can murmur yourself from here to hell and back, and it ain't never going to fix the problems of life. It is never a solution, it is always a problem. Murmuring mires the church down. It mires a family down to where they can't even, everything gets to be a facade. Murmuring will take you down. Murmuring will sink you. Number 9, murmuring reveals stubbornness and rebellion. In Numbers 14, they were to eat bread. They were supposed to enter the land. They murmured, which basically was rebelling, and said, we're not going to go in. That was obstinate. You know what basically they were saying? Watch this. They were saying, God, we give the marching orders, not you. Lord, we may give you lip service that we're in obedience to you, but in reality of our practical life, we're going to do what we want to do, when we want to do it, and how we want to do it. Murmuring is the fruit of rebellion. It's murmuring against God. It's murmuring against God ordained authority. Moses there. It was wide open rebellion, and the Bible teaches the rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. That is why Satan is always involved in murmuring. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, and rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. When murmuring is around, Satan's around. Satan is trying to tear up your life. Number 10, murmuring reveals unbelief or a lack of faith. For if we were trusting the Lord, we wouldn't have anything to murmur about. For the Bible said all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. Now, if that be true and we're murmuring about what's going on, now I'm going to make a confession to the church today about an area that God convicted me in murmuring this week. It's about our leadership, political leadership. Brother Larry, if I'd prayed for Barack Obama as much as I've murmured against him, we might be better off. For this Bible says that God puts one up and sets another down. God is just, I will say, there's a difference between biblical preaching about what he is doing wrong and where he is wrong than a Obama. I've had to ask God to forgive me. You say, Reggie, well, don't... Yeah, about anything he does is wrong according to this book that I've seen. Okay? I'm 100% against his philosophy of life, his position on issues. I disagree with it. But I need to do that in a right attitude, with a right spirit, not trying to destroy him, but to help him, because I am to pray for those in authority. That's Bible. I know, folks, listen, it's hard to have a good attitude. He goes up there and promotes the queers and the sodomites and say, I tell you what, folks, it just burns me up. I want to tear a light bulb off the side of the wall. But you know what that ought to motivate me to do? Is to preach more, to stand more, to be a light, to be salt, to keep it if he's going to do that, I'm going to double my efforts. Every time he does, I'm going to double my efforts. And I'm going to pray for the power of God to touch that man's life, for Holy Ghost conviction to come upon him. And you know what? If we really care about this country, why don't we have an all-night prayer meeting at this church praying all night for God to change the hearts of our leaders instead of murmuring? Now, do you understand why I said this message got close to home to me? It reveals a lack of faith in God's wisdom, in God's justice. It reveals a lack of trust in God's love toward us, God's goodness, God's guidance in our life, God's provision, Brother Don, God's will for our life, God's way for our life. It just basically says, I just can't trust God with my life. It reveals that we are walking truly by sight rather than by faith. Number 11, murmuring is selfish. The murmuring I've been around, it's always about me and mine. It's all about me and mine. It doesn't care about the damage and the hurt that's done to others, the workplace or the church or the family. It's all about me and mine. Let me tell you something we've got to do. We've got to place the cause of Christ above me and mine. And God will test you in that area. Number 12, the true and final focus of murmuring is not against people. It's against God. You read that Bible, it'll say they've murmured. Their focus is on Moses, Moses, Moses. But the Holy Ghost reveals to you that their focus is really murmuring against God. Because God is the one who selected and sent Moses. Isn't that right? God appeared at the burning bush. God sent Moses. Now they're complaining against Moses, murmuring against Moses. Who are they complaining and murmuring against? They're against God. I want to give you some wisdom today. I want to help your families. Let me tell you about this message today. This message, if responded to right, will save your generations from a low life. Because people and individuals and families who have rejected this truth will find themselves, their descendants, not even attending church anywhere. It's that powerful. Let me tell you about your kids. If your kids listen to you murmur at the house or in the car about brothers and sisters in church or the pastor or teacher or somebody like that, did you know what they know? You know what Satan is able to tell them with some sense of authority? Christianity is a joke. It doesn't work. My parents' faith is a facade. It's a joke. They'll float along living on your faith for one generation, but that second generation is gone. I have watched it in this community. I have observed entire family groups where at one time there were preachers, pastors, evangelists, workers in the church, but murmuring got into the family. Murmuring. And let me tell you something. The smallest child has enough spiritual perception to understand when your heart's not right, but you're acting like it's right, but you're not really right. And the devil will be so fast to point out to your child, Daddy is a hypocrite. He acts like he loves the brethren, but he does not. Mama is a hypocrite. She acts like she loves the Lord, but God doesn't ever do anything to make her happy. It will destroy you. It in the ultimate end, its final deal is against God Almighty. Let me give you a New Testament example of that. Saul was persecuting the church. He was arresting and having killed. He held this clothing, the people that stoned Stephen. He was headed up toward Damascus to arrest. He had orders with him to arrest Christians. Put him in prison. And a light shone from heaven and struck Saul to the ground, blinded him. And this is what the Lord said, Saul, Saul, listen to it. Why persecutest thou me? Saul thought he was persecuting the church, but he wasn't. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Brother Dennis, the next time Reg Kelly ever says a murmuring word about a brother in this church, I'm not murmuring against that brother. I'm murmuring against the head of the body, which is Christ. That does not mean that I shouldn't take a stand on what's right or what's wrong. I better be. That doesn't mean I compromise. That doesn't mean I act like that, you know, and just fade, you know, be a little leaf in the wind wimp. But let me tell you something. Let's take the Bible for what it says. Christ is the head of the church, which is his body. And so if I attack the body, I'm attacking Christ. That's solid scripture. And I'm going to tell you something. Historically, you never get by with it. One thing we ought to remember about murmuring is that God hears all of our murmuring. This is the 13th and the final one. Four times in our text, verse 7, verse 8, verse 9, and verse 12, the Bible says, I'm just going to read that for sake of it. Verse number 7, he heareth your murmurings against the Lord. Verse 8, the Lord heareth your murmurings, that ye murmur against him. Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. Verse 9, come near before the Lord, for he hath heard your murmurings. Verse number 12, God is talking, I have heard the murmurings. Now, I want to leave us with this today. You and I have never murmured in our life but what God heard it. He hears it all. All things are open and naked with him with whom we have to do. And that number 13 is, who is the witness of our murmurings? It is God. God is the true witness to our murmurings. God not only hears our murmurings, but he knows the evil heart that is behind the murmurings. God knows the wicked and selfish motivations behind and the evil intents behind the murmurings. And the Bible makes it clear in the New Testament that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. The problem with a murmuring mouth is the heart. It is speaking out of the abundance of a heart that needs a supernatural work of the Holy Ghost of God. A heart that needs to repent. A heart that needs to humble itself and confess that I have sinned horribly against God. David said in his sin with Bathsheba in Psalms 51, you can read it, against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. Because all sin is ultimately against holy God. Nothing is hidden from the Lord. I remind us all this morning that it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. So, what will be at judgment? What will be brought out at judgment? I've always felt like that at that point, I know for a fact we will be in eternity. In other words, we will no longer be in a time realm. And for lack of a better way to say it, there's going to be plenty of time for judgment. The docket will not be too full. And when I read in the Bible that I'm going to give an account for every word that I have spoken, it sobers me. When I read in the Bible that I'm going to give an account for every thought of my heart, it sobers me. When I understand through studying Scripture that my motives, that the Word of God and the Spirit of God searches the motives of the heart and the intents of the heart, that sobers me. And you know what we need to do? When we need to quit having funerals and just talk about that they went on to their reward, we need to talk about the fact and the thought that they have died and now they're facing judgment. And when I think that I am going to be judged for every word, for every motive, the playtime gets to be over. And let me tell you this. I know for a fact that as we as individuals, that we as families, that we as brethren and sisters in the Lord, and that we as citizens and laborers and workers among the people that we're going to meet this week, that if we will be a people who do not murmur, we are going to be a happier, healthier people. And that's God's goal for us. God's goal in this message today is not to make you feel condemned, other than the fact if you are condemned, you need to repent. And you need to ask God for grace to stop it. God's real goal for you today is to make you happier by ridding you of this plague, ridding us of that which destroys the joy of the Lord. I thank the Lord. You know, as I was studying and doing this message, I thought, oh, Lord, I want to get all my family together, well, all six kids together and their spouses and their grandchildren, just sit down at the table and say, listen, let's make a covenant to the Lord that we will not murmur so our children can be blessed. Tonight I'm going to preach on vows, V-O-W-S. I hope you'll be here. Vows are another area where people don't think it's serious anymore, and yet God says it's so serious. But you know what it makes me want to do, Brother Randy? It makes me want to make a vow to God that by His sweet grace, I will not be a murmurer. Please listen to me. I'm going to close. Fathers, we are the spiritual leaders of our homes. We need to set the stage, and we need to stop the murmuring in our houses. You may have to say, honey, uh-uh. You may have to say, kids, uh-uh. And you may have to tell your honey, you may have to tell your wife, honey, if you sense that I'm starting murmuring, would you please love me enough to say, hey, Reggie, don't go there. It's going to take discipline. It's going to take discipline. Brother Jim, wouldn't it be a wonderful world to live in where there wasn't no murmuring? Can you imagine the children of Israel, if they hadn't murmured, they'd all got into the promised land? Do you mean it's that serious, Lord? Yeah, Reggie, it's that serious. And Reggie, your problem is, as a preacher, you've never taken it that serious. But that's because you haven't let me speak to you in my word. And you know what? I'm thankful that God didn't let me go through this journey through the Moses' life without stopping my tracks and saying, Brother Reggie, we're going to deal with this issue of murmuring. I want your families to be happy. Now, listen to me good. I love you. I think you love me. I preach this message for your good, not for your destruction. Because if you, those families and individuals who will take this message truly to your heart, and I'm talking about getting somewhere with the Lord and saying, Dear God in heaven, take it out, root and branch out of my heart. Take murmuring out of my soul. We're going to be a happier, sweeter people to live around. And so let's bow our heads today, and I'm going to ask you this. Would you dare to talk to the Lord today and say, Dear God, first of all, I want you to forgive me for my murmuring. Would you ask God to forgive you? I ain't trying to put words in your mouth. I'm just saying, hey, I'm trying to lead you to obedience to Scriptures. Dear God, I've been guilty of murmuring, complaining, griping. I've not been happy and thankful and grateful for how good you've been to me. Yes, Lord, there's a lot of problems in life, a lot of sin and a lot of curse on life, a lot of sad situations, a lot of things I can't do anything about, a lot of things I can't fix. But, oh, dear God, He leadeth me. Lord, forgive me of my murmuring spirit. But, Lord, I want more than just forgiveness. Lord, I want it taken out of who I am. I want the murmuring to stop at my doorstep. I can't control what someone else may do. I can't help what somebody else may be. But, oh, God, would you please, by your sweet spirit, let me tell you something, folks. You and I can't do it in the power of the flesh. It's going to take the power of the Holy Ghost to make us stop murmuring. And even recognize it. I didn't recognize that I murmured about the weather till this week. I didn't recognize that I was murmuring about our government till this week. Only the Lord can show us. But would you pray, Lord Jesus, I want to be honest enough to recognize areas of my life where I've murmured. And I want you to forgive me and cleanse me and wash me with the blood of your Son, the Lord Jesus. Lord, you said if we'd confess our sins, you'd be faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And dear God, now I ask you to give me grace. And Lord, I want to make a holy commitment to you. A holy commitment to you that I will not murmur. And I'm asking the Holy Spirit to prick my heart every time I start murmuring. I want the Holy Spirit to say, hey, don't do that. To check me every time I start it. And God, I may fall 1,000 times after today, but dear God, from now to eternity, I want this to be a battlefront. I want this to be a battleground that I will win through the grace of God, through the blood of Jesus Christ, by the resurrected Savior, by the power of a new risen life in Jesus. This is an area that I want to conquer through the name and blood of Jesus Christ. I am not going to live the rest of my life as a chronic murmurer. I'm not going to be the father or the mother of children who have been taught to murmur in my presence. I don't want to be a murmur at my workplace, Lord. I do not want to be a murmur in my home. I don't want to be a murmur at my church. I want to be an edifier. I want to be an exhorter. I want to be one who lifts up and not tears down. Oh, dear God, take the murmuring out of my soul. And dear God, thank you for all that you've given me, all that you've blessed me with. God, forgive me and lead me. And God, stop this awful sin in its tracks, lest it infect my generations. Our heads are bowed, and I would appreciate no one being around here in this church house looking around right now. I've asked you to make a commitment to God about your desire, by God's grace, to not be a murmurer. And if you meant that, and if you did that and you meant that, I'm going to ask you today, and I'm going to raise my hand. I tell you, I went out this morning and I talked to God. I talked to God last night. I talked to God. God gave me this message last Tuesday. If you meant that, and you're just by an indication, I'm trying to tie the horns to the altar right now. You'd say, Reggie, I ask God to take it out of me and commit my life to not be a murmurer. Would you raise your hand high to glory and say, God, by your sweet grace, give me grace not to murmur. Oh, Lord, tear it out of my soul. Tear it out of my soul. My Father, you've seen all these hands raised. God, I know these people. I believe, God, in their heart of hearts, they want to serve you. They're not here just going to church somewhere, Lord. They're here, Lord, because they want to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. They want, Lord, to worship you. They want to honor you with their life, with their home, their everything they are. They want to honor you, Lord. And, Lord, I believe they're a lot like me, Lord. They have good intentions, but they fail. Lord, we mean what we say today, and yet, God, in our heart, we're afraid of falling. But, Lord, you have said that a just man falleth 7 times, and the Lord will lift him up. So, Lord, today I'm going to take something from your word, and I'm going to claim it today for all of us in this church. Lord, it's the principle that it's not where we're at today, but it's the direction we desire to head that you will honor. And so, Lord, right now, we take as a body of believers before you today, and we turn our hearts toward the cross. Lord, that our murmuring would be nailed to the cross. And God, when we've failed, and the Holy Spirit is so faithful to convict us and say, hey, you shouldn't have said that, that we would immediately stop and we would confess it and say, Lord, forgive me. Lord, change the thoughts of my heart. And we would begin to praise you and bless your holy name and thank you and express giving worship to you through our lips of praise and worship to you, God, and being thankful and so grateful for you and our friends and our family. God, equip us now, Lord, with the armor of God. And Lord, we just throw ourselves at the foot of the cross, helpless without your power. But I know, Lord, you're able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And Lord, I'm just going to ask you something real special. I preach a lot of messages here at this church, Lord. But Lord, would you just take this message and make it a very special one? Do something with this message, Lord, that will help these folks down the road of life and their descendants. for your glory and for your honor through our lives. In Jesus' name I pray.